Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Tigers playoff Wednesday, everybody. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in lovely Lapeer and certainly in downtown Detroit, where the Tigers are just getting underway in Game 3 against the Cleveland Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
Now, I'm throwing myself under the bus here, okay? Now, here I go. You ready? Saturday, when they lost 7-0, I said, well, that's it. That's it. They had a good run, but now they're against a good team, and all you need is that one big deflating loss to bring you back down to earth. Then, lo and behold, Game 2 happened, and the Tigers showed that their demise was, what's that saying goes?
Rumors of their demise were greatly exaggerated.
Yes, exactly. So my apologies to the Tigers for counting them out. I'm back on the bandwagon.
Good man. That's what I like to hear. You get on that bandwagon and you stay on that bandwagon.
I'm strapped in.
You better well be, because this wagon ain't stopping for nobody. So Tigers getting already underway here. I believe we're into the probably the bottom of the first inning already. We'll, of course, be keeping you posted all afternoon long on the outcome of this thing, and then just doing our normal general brand of stupidity.
Yes.
While doing so, because that's just what you've come to expect from us on Happy Hour, and it's what we're more than willing to give to you. Yeah, still scoreless. We'll keep you posted. We'll do whatever the hell it is we do from 3 to 6 every day. And we'll figure it out from there.
Sounds good.
It is Happy Hour at your local alternative solid state radio. Live at your local alternative solid state radio, it is Happy Hour. And a little bit of news out of the football world that I was not expecting this to be the first coach firing of the year, but
yeah,
Robert Saleh getting ejected by the New York Giants. And you are not going to convince me. I'm sorry. You're not going to convince me that this wasn't all Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Oh, yeah. He is a quarterback killer in this one. Definitely.
Well, he's not a quarterback killer. He's a more head coach killer.
Head coach killer, yeah.
Like, I don't understand, like, how it is that this man, I mean, I get that he's an elite talent. No one's going to argue this, but man, he just seems to get just whatever he wants. Like, if you want me to fire the head coach, we'll do it. And apparently this came just minutes after he demoted Rodgers' buddy Nathaniel Hackett from offensive coordinator because their offense has been putrid this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know how things go in Aaron Rodgers' world. Everything is somebody else's fault other than his.
Yes.
Like, you saw the whole thing about him going out and calling out the head coach for not having it guys prepared or whatever, when something about the cadences or whatever the hell it was.
Yep.
Like, him basically going out there and throwing his head coach under the bus before. Well, here's a crazy thought. Maybe it's the fact that you're a 41-year-old man who hasn't played football in a year. Maybe you're just not that good anymore.
Yep.
Like, I know that's a strange foreign concept to behold here, but I feel like it's a lot more likely at this point that you've just lost a step, because in football years you're effing elderly.
He really is. So I mean, I don't know if he's like playing the current edition of Madden. He's like, no, look, I'm good. Look, check out Madden. My rating is like a 90.
You know, it's kind of wonder.
I mean, I wonder if the Madden, they have his dead in the eye, dead behind the eyes look on the screen like they do in real life.
Oh, you know, absolutely does. Has to. I haven't played, but I would lay money on that. But it's really weird how all this went down. Like, you, all of a sudden you hear these reports about how their owner, Woody Johnson, Woody Johnson, is the maddest he's ever been at this team for underachieving. But then not realizing that, well, there's not really that much talent. I mean, there's some talented pieces on this squad, but a lot of it, quite frankly, falls on your GM for not, you know, acquiring the proper talent to really contend here. I mean, this was a team where you saw what it couldn't do without Aaron Rodgers, like, yeah, giving Zach Wilson one more shot at it. Like, they're just not good. There's not enough talent here. But instead of firing Joe Douglas, the GM, which would have made sense, Saleh's the guy who gets booted and, you know, thrown to the wolves, so to speak.
He was a sacrificial lamb.
Only because I feel like they can't get rid of Hackett because that's Rodgers' boy.
Yep. Can't do that. That owner's got to be looking. He's like, I have Aaron Rodgers. I'm paying him a lot of money. I expected better results. Yeah, but, I mean, forget. I mean, a quarterback only plays one side of the ball. You got to play defense, too.
The thing is, they haven't had that much of a problem playing defense. I think their last game, they only gave up like 17 points. Like, they haven't been giving up a bunch of points in games. The defense has been entirely acceptable, honestly. And Saleh comes very much from he was a defensive coordinator before he became the head coach in New York. You'll remember for a while there was talk that the Lions had targeted him when he was getting ready when he was getting ready to leave the Niners before you ended up with Macho Man Dan Campbell. But when you look back at the Jets, like how things have gone for them the last few weeks, like you gave up 23 points to the Vikings, but one of those was an interception that was returned 63 yards for a touchdown. You had a pick six. You can't count the pick six against the defense. That's stupid. You had that, and 17 points in this league, that's not terrible. You can still win games giving up that much. And the Jets had never, other than week one against the Niners, that was the most points they'd given up all year. They up 9 points to the or 10 points to the Broncos, 24 to the Jets, or sorry, 3 to the Patriots rather, 17 to the Titans. Like, the first week is the only one that was really just a complete kind of clown car for the Jets defense. That's the only one that was really like, okay, you could make a real argument here that this is their fault, but other than that, I don't feel like you really have a whole lot to get on the Jets defensive side of things about. Like, why is it that Saleh, who is, you know, regarded as a defensive guru, did he get the boot here and not Hackett? I think it's because, and I do find it funny, by the way, that the aforementioned Woody Johnson went
his middle name is Richard.
Oh, you know it has to be.
Sure.
That he actually, he is the one who made the decision to fire Saleh. He went above his GM's head in making that call. Like, it just speaks to a level of dysfunction in that organization that I think, quite frankly, is going to keep them from winning a title anytime soon. Like, yes. When you have an owner who's meddling that much into things, that's a problem. Especially, like, an owner that really hasn't demonstrated a particularly sound knowledge of football. That's really, like, let your people that you pay to do football things do the football things. Yep. And leave them alone to do their jobs, man. Like, there's no reason to be, like, no one wants you to be a Jerry Jones type guy because you don't clearly have the, well, you might have the intelligence to match Jerry Jones, but that's not saying a whole lot. Like, you're not really, you don't have that ability to make these, you know, override people and make these calls and have them work out in your favor. You're just not that good.
Right.
Sorry, that just kind of is what it is. And I feel like this is going to be a thing forever now. Like, they're promoting their defensive coordinator to interim head coach the rest of the season. So it was interesting that they didn't, in fact, keep Hackett or promote Hackett to head coach. Or I don't think officially promote him back to, you know, offensive play caller either. So, like, they know, but they're trying to placate the golden boy and keep him happy, which very rarely does that work out. Like, I feel like you give a QB free reign over an organization. It doesn't traditionally work very well. I mean, Brady didn't even have that in New England. I mean, you had two very strong personalities there between him and Belichick in that regard. No one was like completely getting their way and, you know, throwing the other under the bus or whatever. When you have a guy like this, a QB who wants to be the de facto head coach and GM, bad things usually tend to result from that combination. I don't see it being something that's going to work for the Jets long term. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers never makes the playoffs again at this point.
I mean, this is kind of his victory tour, is it not? We've seen athletes do this in all the sports where, I mean, Brett Favre. I mean,
it's true.
Brett Favre. I mean, Green Bay Packer legend, but then he had his time with the Jets, didn't he?
And then went back into the division of the Vikings. Yeah. So does that mean that we're going to see Aaron Rodgers in Minnesota next year?
Well, I mean, they could probably use him.
I mean, at least they've managed to build a competent team in that, I mean, literally, Sam Darnold's having success over there right now, and Sam Darnold should have been out of the league like 5 years ago.
I mean, maybe Jets makes a trade, or Vikings makes a trade, one for one, Sam Darnold and a draft pick for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to be the missing key for Minnesota, and I don't think that's really going to unlock Aaron Rodgers of old. I think that's gone. I mean, like you said, he's 41 years old. In NFL years, that's about 105.
Exactly. Like, not everybody is Tom Brady and can keep performing at a high level into their 40s.
No.
Especially in Rodgers' case, coming off that torn Achilles last year.
Yes. I mean, that's a hard thing to come back from.
A very hard thing to come back from, even if he claims that it wasn't what they told the press. And, was it really torn? I could have been back by Christmas and all that, you know. All the usual bravado that comes with Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, yeah. And I wanted to come back, but the doctor said no, and I got to listen to them. But, man, I couldn't wait to get back on the field.
Right, and quite honestly, I feel like he probably does still think that he can contend at that level. Like, I don't think he has faced the reality yet that he's just not that guy anymore. And I feel like there's no shame in that.
No.
For as much as I want to shame him for a lot of things, there's no shame in admitting, okay, the game is passing you by. Your body can't hold up to playing in a league of 20 and early 30-somethings, man. Like, you just ain't that guy anymore. You lost a step with the offseason, with the injury and the surgery and everything else.
Yep.
Like, there's no shame in admitting that. Like, it's not going to diminish what you did. But honestly, I think continuing to drag it out is only going to lessen the legacy by the time all is said and done. And he's already done a fair amount to do that.
Well, I mean, has he? Because, I mean, we don't remember the time that, you know, Martin Brodeur didn't play for the Devils. He's long been retired, and we constantly think of him as a New Jersey Devil.
True, but he also didn't, like, it didn't stay a major headline for multiple years of him. Was he even there multiple years? I think he was only
here. No. I think he played for the Blues for like 2 years, and then he was donezo.
But it's the fact that Rodgers continues to make himself the center of headlines and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Favre did with the Jets, and then when he came back to Minnesota, and from what I remember, did not do terribly. I kind of get the feeling, though, that, like, with Rodgers' insistence on keeping himself in the news in any way possible, like, and honestly, some of the off the field stuff is probably going to hurt the legacy in the eyes of a lot of people.
I don't know. The W's will always seem to rise to the top. 10 years from now, let's say he hangs it up after this season, we're still going to look back because he's got at least one ring. He's got one ring with Green Bay, and I mean,
and arguably should have had more. And there's going to be. That's something that a lot of people are going to look at and be like, well, you only got it done once. Like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, but I mean, how many times did they win their division? I mean, I guess I should have that information already
Yeah, here's the thing with that. The NFC North was so trash for so long, by and large. That's not really saying that much. I mean, this wasn't a relevant team before last year.
Yeah.
The Bears have long been trash, and the Vikings have kind of been the...
I don't remember the Vikings ever really being... I mean, I know Randy Moss had some of his good golden years there, but...
Yeah. So you had in his time in Green Bay, obviously, you had the Super Bowl win in 2010. And then did he make... I think the next year they made the playoffs and lost. Like, they... I'm trying to remember the playoff runs, but there was not another one in which they won it all. Like, a couple years, like in 2016, they go and they make it to the NFC Championship game and lose that. But by and large, it hasn't gone overly well for them in postseason. Like, they'll get a couple wins, but they've never managed to climb that mountain again. And a lot of people do kind of look back on that, like, there's no reason we should have won more titles than we did. And for as long as they were a contender in that division, and they were, like, the contender in that division, and for as often as they were a playoff team, like, I think you can still argue he's absolutely a first-ballot Hall of Famer, but I know I guarantee there's going to be people that are going to question that legacy because he only got the one ring. And I don't exactly imagine that he's going to get another one before he hangs it up.
No.
Or before injuries force him to hang it up.
No, I think, of course, we said this 2 seasons ago. I think he's done. I think with the Jets, unless somebody's willing to take a flyer on him, because how long is his contract in New
he's
York?
He's got, I think, another year or two.
Does he really?
Well,
they signed a 39-year-old to a multi-year deal. Good on them.
This is technically already the second year of the deal.
Right.
I mean, that was kind of the insistence on his part, from what I remember. Like, he wanted to have that be the case very badly, because he was looking to prove that, oh yeah, I can do this. I can keep playing forever. I can do the Tom Brady thing. Like, as it turns out, no, you can't. And most people can't, and that's fair, but okay, it's 3 years, so he's up at the end of next season.
Okay. Well, he'll play it out.
He'll attempt to play it out.
Yeah.
If he actually does, your guess is as good as mine. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. The Kills at Solid State Radio. Quick update on the Tigers. Oh, boy. Bases, runners at first and second for Cleveland in the top of the fifth. Thus far, no runs scored for Cleveland. Bo Breeski taking the mound to try and put out the fire here, it looks like, as he's been kind of their most effective reliever thus far this series. I think it's not even a stretch to say that he's supplanted Jason Foley as your like most high leverage closer like guy out of your bullpen the way he's been going, with very few exceptions. But right now, top of the fifth, Tigers up 2-0. Cleveland's got runners at first and second. We'll keep you updated on the game as we go on this afternoon. Right now, here's Dexter and the Moonrocks. Pierce the Veil at your local alternative Solid State Radio. And Adam just told me something during the break that might rank as one of the dumbest things I have ever heard uttered in my life.
The dumbest thing, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. And there's pictures to prove it. Now, I didn't do it. I wasn't involved in this. Motley Crue.
Sure you were.
They're soon going to be doing a residency in Vegas. But right now, they're doing a Hollywood Takeover. And
okay,
they're playing the Roxy tonight. They're playing some of their old haunts when they first started. They played the Troubadour last night, and I saw some pictures, and they had like the backdrop like they used to use, that they used with like big sheet and felt marker and everything else. And I saw the set list; it looked pretty scorching. John Five is in there, and he's fitting in great with the band. Vince Neil, he's trying his best.
He's Vince Neil.
He's just Vince Neil, and But then a very disturbing picture I saw, and somebody in the front row was handing John 5 their baby.
What? Why?
Their baby.
Who would do this?
It's Halloween. Maybe it's like a Chucky doll, I don't know.
And real baby, huh?
I saw the caption, and John 5 is just like, yeah, we had a great time with the Troubadour, and yes, that is a real baby I'm holding. This baby is not wearing ear protectors. This baby is just there, probably, if it's scarred for life from the noise and everything else. If not, this, you've got some real problems. You got a potential serial killer
right
on your hands.
If the worst your kid comes back with is a drug problem, you're going to be doing pretty all right.
And the kid comes back, has got a tattoo, sleeve tattooed on his arm. A nose ring. And he's got a heroin problem. I mean, have you not seen The Dirt? It's on Netflix. You can go ahead and check it out. I would not let my kid anywhere near Motley Crue.
Absolutely not. And you're not even one of those parents that's like, you can't be listening to that music. That's the devil.
Oh, no. Like, there's a lot of things I probably shouldn't be subjecting my son to.
Like this radio show? Like, he's never going to get to listen to this show, is he?
No.
He's not going to be allowed. Like,
he has been in studio a couple times, but I've never let him on the air because he's language, FCC. no, he's...
Well, yeah, with your kid, that doesn't surprise me.
No, his...
If his first word wasn't the F-bomb, I'd actually be kind of shocked.
His latest word is bubbles. He loves bubbles. And Disney. He loves Disney. Doesn't call me Dada yet because he knows Disney. But yeah, I mean,
those insidious bastards.
Yeah. He's my kid now. And
it's
you're
funny
paying for him.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've maybe had some TV shows and some movies that I shouldn't be playing with Joey in the room, but
you never, you,
I would,
you're
never
like the perfect parent. I understand.
I would never take my kid to the Troubadour in Hollywood, California to see Motley Crue. I mean, they didn't have a babysitter. And they didn't have a babysitter. Well,
they didn't have a responsible adult somewhere.
The tickets were $19.81. You know, 1981. I mean, that's, I mean, with ticket prices, that's actually pretty impressive for Motley Crue.
Now, that being said,
I'm not blaming the crew for this, but
that said, the fees, you know, had to be out of this world.
Oh yeah, it was still like probably $340.
Well, yeah,
a door handle fee. What is it? Yeah, well, somebody's got to turn the door handle to let you in.
And that person has to get paid.
And that person's wearing better jewelry than you. Do not take a kid to a Motley Crue show like that. I mean, I could see if the kid was like, you know, if they were at like Pine Knob and the kid was like 8 or 9 years old, but a baby. I'm talking still wearing diapers in a onesie, probably way past his bedtime.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Baby.
Some people are just grossly irresponsible, man.
They are. They are. Then I throw my hands up, and I mean, no ear protector. That kid's like, well, I don't understand why my kid's deaf.
Can't imagine.
Now, you know, the kid's name is like initials. Come here, JT. Come here. He can't hear me. JT, come here. The kid for the rest of his life says,
you got to kind of feel bad.
Oh yeah.
That's some just wonderful parenting, man.
Stupidity at its finest.
Truly, truly is. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. It's the ground. Are you ready to lay down some judgment here, Hawk?
You betcha.
I should have figured as much. Let's do a little bit of Am I the A-hole?
Yes.
Haven't done one of these in a hot minute.
Nope, not at all.
Let's dive into Am I the A-hole for quote-unquote purposefully excluding a coworker?
No.
He's already... Damn, he already got it right. Well, I guess that's the end of the bit. Show's over. Well, let's go home.
Because, I mean, I don't know what the situation... Before you go into it, I'm going to say, at face value, I'm going to say no. Because not... First of all, I'm assuming this is like an activity outside of work.
Yes.
So, yeah, you don't have to invite every single person at work. Because, let's face it, there are some people in my life that I can work with but can't hang with. There's people I can hang with and can't work with. You know what I'm saying? So
right. The sad thing is I'm not sure which I fall into because he hangs with me and works with me, and I feel like we're dangerously close to him not doing one or the other.
You are so kind of close in my circle that if I was to come up murdered, you'd probably be suspect one. I mean, you've kind of reached that tier.
Adam, I think we all know that suspect one would be Dorothy. And honestly, there might be a kid or two ahead of me, too. Mm-hmm. Up to and including Joey.
Yeah, yeah. Dada, die. Oh, it's first words.
Guess I better put Dorothy and Joey on the apology
list. Yeah, might as well, yeah.
Wow, this is bad. Your kid's like, what, just a hair over a year old, and he's already been included on the apology list now?
He'll be 2 in December, believe it or not.
Well, at least we got him in before, too. Get him started early, having to apologize to him for the things we say about him on the air.
All right.
Am I the a-hole for purposely excluding a coworker? I, 28-year-old male, work in a team of 7 people. A new girl, Jess, 26-year-old female, joined a few months ago, who I don't really care for.
Oh, okay.
I am polite to her when we work, but we don't share any hobbies or overlap in any way. I think she's a bit pretentious, to be honest. Uh-huh. She's always talking about her living in London in her early 20s. It's her whole personality, talking about all the expensive things she used to do and how she's now so broke as a result. We are all paid very well for what we do and the area we live in. Last night, we all planned to go to dinner after work to celebrate our coworker Chris getting married. I knew Jess would be going, but it wasn't my plan to dictate who went, and it's a nice thing to celebrate, so I decided to go anyway. Everyone at work drives apart from me, so Chris offered to drive us both. I'd say I'm the closest with him. We started around the same time. I was all set to go until Jess said she finds driving on her own nerve-wracking. I have no idea how she manages to commute in every day, and asked if I'd ride with her. I declined and said I wanted to travel with Chris. She insisted, so I told her I want to ride with Chris so we can talk about some wedding things and got into the car. Chris did offer to also drive her, but she declined. We all got to the restaurant. Jess did not. She had a panic attack mid-journey and decided to Uber home, leaving her car on a random street somewhere.
Crisis averted.
Today at work, she had a go at me and accused me of purposefully excluding her from the group plan. Apparently, me not riding with her was a scheme on my end to make her not go because I don't like her. I told her she excluded herself. Chris offered her a lift, and she didn't take it. Yeah. She didn't have to abandon her car and ditch. She could have called an Uber for herself to the restaurant. Then I walked off. While I don't like her, I don't make that known at work to any of my coworkers.
Yep.
I ask about her weekend. I offer her a hot drink if I make one. I help her when she has questions. I just don't talk to her like I do with everyone else, and I don't have her on my social media. I've known everyone else for 3+ years now. Of course I'm close to them. I was talking to Chris about this post-shift, and he told me it would have hurt for me to ride with her instead of him when she insisted. Am I the a-hole?
No, no, you're not. I mean, she was given... The thing is, she wants people to help her, but on her terms. She is pretentious. She keeps talking about her past life and how great she used to be, and I've dealt with people like this.
I used to be somebody.
I did this, and now I'm broke. And I'm going to ride with you. No, I'm riding with Chris, and Chris... You could ride with him. No. It sounds like maybe she had the hots for him, and she was looking for like some alone time.
Okay, so you're not the only one that got that indication.
Yeah, and then So I've been like a real proponent for recently, in like the last 6 months to a year, of people taking care of their own mental health, taking care of yourself mentally. I applaud the fact that, you know, she parked a car and got an Uber, but still, what a load.
Couldn't she have Ubered to the event at that point?
Yeah, exactly. Because she felt so... I questioned the validity of her panic attack. She's probably like, oh, you guys left me to my own devices and I just couldn't handle it. Oh my God, look, I could have been stranded. I could have been raped. I could have been killed. I could have, you know... And it's all your fault. And
how does this woman get to work on a daily basis?
Yeah.
She apparently drives. Apparently, had too much of a problem of driving to this place.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't ride. Like she, I mean, to me, it's obvious that yeah, she wants you to ride with you because she wants to ride you and you know in another way.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that much seems honestly pretty apparent.
Yeah. So she has all this anxiety about being with people and everything else, and then she gets out of her private car into a car of another person, and that's fine. There's just so many weird red flags.
You got into that person's other random person's car,
yeah,
and didn't just go on to the party. Instead, you had to go home at that point.
Yeah, and let everybody know, oh, I just went home. And then she tried to chew the guy out, and he didn't take it. No, you're not the a-hole. I would say maybe don't offer her a hot beverage when she gets it. Maybe not ask about how her weekend is. You need to kind of pull away from this person. Something tells me she's not going to be a coworker for much longer, so just ride it out. And just remember, you don't put your meat where you get your bread.
It's true. Do not recommend. I mean, it worked out for me, but...
It does work out every once in a while.
But clearly it's not in this case.
Yeah.
But even beyond the obvious...
If it's crazy bread, you know... Sorry.
But even the obvious implications, beyond the obvious implications of, okay, she's clearly into you and that's why she was trying to scheme this whole thing up.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in a car with someone who just admits to having panic attacks while driving. I don't want to be in a vehicle with that person. That sounds like a one-way ticket to I'm going to get in a crash.
I think she wanted to get in a car with him. She wanted him to drive.
No, she wanted, it sounds like from my reading this, she said she finds driving on her own nerve-wracking, but she would have been okay with driving with him in the car with her.
Oh, yeah. No. You're both going to get an Uber because she can't handle it?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm not getting in a car to ride with someone who says they find driving nerve-wracking. Ever. Ever! Because you know what? I value my life at least somewhat.
Will you ride with me? Because when I'm driving the car every once in a while, I just want to answer the call of the void and just swerve into oncoming traffic. But if I'm talking to you, maybe I won't slam on the brakes and, you know, I won't try to drive off a cliff because you're so soothing.
What in the final destination are we doing here?
Yeah, a log truck. I bet you I can. She's driving. She's like, I saw it in a cartoon, but I think I can do it.
Oh, wow. Good Lord, this woman should probably be in a metal hospital.
Like an empty car hauler. Like, have you ever seen Dukes of Hazzard?
We are not reliving that today. Nope, not happening. No way. Nuh-uh.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you can ride with me, and then you can ride me if you're fine with that, you know.
Also, no, apparently, is the answer there.
Yeah, I mean, get yourself a nice, healthy dose of crazy flakes. And again, you know, I shouldn't be making light of people's, you know, mental issues. Take care of yourself. But, you know, at the same time, take care of yourself. Make sure, you know, if there's some red flags, understand it, respect it, know it.
Well, see, that would make sense. And that's the problem. People wind it. They say they want to take responsibility for these things, but what they really mean is they want to make it someone else's problem.
Yes, and it sounds like she is just she's just trying to find somebody to blame her problems on.
Clearly, and no. So, nicely done, Adam, like, from the jump on this one, having, like, nailed the answer to the question before I even gave you any of the description. Kudos to you, sir. Well done. Yeah, here's Bad Flower at Solid State Radio. The Offspring at Solid State Radio. I think we've talked about this in the past. By the way, Tigers are currently up in the bottom of the seventh. Up still now 3-0. Looking pretty good here to, you know, potentially clinch this thing at home. Hoping for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, I think we've talked about this in the past. There are places they're like raising their like the age that you have to be the minimum age requirement to get into bars and stuff.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, this is becoming increasingly a thing. I think we talked about something similar to this maybe a few months back on the show. There's a bar in Alabama that's now doing it. Meme Williams, I assume that's how that's pronounced, one of the owners of the Desire Bar and Lounge, says the decision was made after hosting an alumni event last week. They say everything was going smoothly until a younger crowd showed up, and then things took a different turn. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
At one point, they were all standing in our chairs on the patio, sneaking bottles in and kept trying to smoke marijuana. We turned it down and went straight blues. We turned it all the way down. They started walking out, but the crowd was still right outside our doors. Desire owners Williams and Mario Billingsley said a fight then broke out between a young man and another man while the group was outside. I saw a young lady just beating on her boyfriend, and when I tried to tell her to calm down, she told me, "I just don't give a bleep," and punched me. My arm is still bruised.
Wow.
The young woman was arrested, but after that, apparently it was decided things had to change. Men will now have to be at least 30 years old to enter. The weird part about this, though, is that women must be 25 or older.
Well, typically, women mature faster than guys, and you want the younger women in there. You know, it happens. I've seen a couple places growing up where the guys had to be 21 and up, and the women could be 18.
Yeah, I mean, which I don't know. That feels like creepy and borderline predatory to me.
It is. It is very creepy and predatory. This situation, I get it because you get a couple young bucks in there, and you know, most bars like those kind of guys because they'll go and spend their whole paycheck at the bar. But you know, then you get the behavioral problems. But I mean, you being a bartender probably see behavioral problems. Regardless of age.
Of any generation, I have watched, you know, a couple guys get into a fight that were, like, in their, like, 50s and also not even drinking. So, I mean, I don't see it necessarily fit to dismiss the younger generation as all just being irrational and short-tempered a-holes, just that, by and large, they don't tip. Which, you know, that's really enough for me in my book to be fine with it, I guess.
Yeah. These bar owners, they're probably sitting there and nodding their heads going, yeah, this is the right decision, not letting guys in here until they're 30 years old. But what if they were like creating a bar where they weren't going to let anybody in older than 30? Then it'd be age discrimination. They'd have all kinds of problems.
Yeah, remember, age discrimination only works against the old.
Yeah.
That's apparently how this sort of thing works.
Oh, yeah. This is... Experiment.
Can you imagine how many holes will be punched in the drywall of that of like a no one older than 30 bar?
He said they wouldn't have any drywall left. They just have to put up cinder block.
Pretty much.
There you go, Kyle.
Yeah, good. Have fun with that. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It's over. Jack Daniels! It is Friday's happy hour, we hung out to the literal last possible second of the show to see if the Tigers were going to pull this thing off before 6 o'clock, and they did. Tyler Holton gets the last three outs. Your Detroit Tigers are one game away from going to the ALCS with a 3-0 victory over the Guardians this afternoon. And what a game it was. Brant Herter ends up getting the win for Detroit. Wasn't a whole lot of, you know, wasn't exactly a hero ball kind of game. You had Riley Green drive in a run in the bottom of the first. The bottom of the sixth, Spencer Torkelson ended up driving in Colt Keith. And really just a masterful performance all the way around from the Tigers pitching staff. Keeter Montero got your start today with one inning of work. Herter, of course, with 3 1/3 of no-run ball. Breeske, Gunther, Vest, Holton all chipping in there and ultimately coming away with the win here today. Bring it on tomorrow night starting at, I believe, 6. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.